Lenexa, Kansas, right outside of Kansas City, where the Big 12 championship game is going to be played, and which will be decided in a couple days. And so if anybody needs, I probably shouldn't say this, but I hope it's okay. If anybody needs a cheap place to stay for the Big 12 championship, then look me up. We've got a great floor, you know, never mind. But in all sincerity, this is the highlight of my year. I mean, I've been looking forward to this day for many, many months. Anytime I have the opportunity to speak to a group that is hungry, not just physically hungry, but that is hungry to grow spiritually, that strategically places themselves in situations to grow, that takes advantage of many different opportunities to grow and to learn. Man, I tell you, there's not a greater place to speak than to a group like that. And I consider this group to be exactly like that. So it's an honor and a privilege just to be here tonight. And, you know, I grew up. Went to school here at OU, went through the BSU. I was on staff here, actually. Shared an office with John Kelsey. Can you believe that? Right over there for a few years. And I'm about to break the cardinal sin, maybe, of OU-BSU. And I hope that's okay. But all of you need to take your notepads, okay? I'm about to break it, okay? Your notepads, okay, and even your Bible. Oh my goodness gracious! Even your Bible, your notepad, and your Bible, and just tuck them underneath your seat, okay? And here's why, okay? I realize who I'm talking to, okay, and that you know, missing one message out of I don't know how many in a given week that you hear and take notes on it. It's not going to corrupt you forever. It's okay. You can get back on that habit after tonight. But here's the deal. Most of you, you might be here physically, but the majority of you are already in Dallas. And I realize that. Okay? I've been a student here. I started celebrating OU Texas Day on Monday, the week. It was a OU Texas week for me when I was in school. And I realized that. And Vespers came, and I was planning, I was packing, getting ready to go to the game, and all excited. You know, I came here, you know, you get to connect with friends and see people, but man, it's the game. I realize that. I've been there, okay? And so, here's what I want to do. If I give you and speak about 6 points tonight, I guarantee you, okay, come Saturday night, you will not remember 1 point that I talked about. I realize that, okay, and that's okay. I realize that probably tomorrow morning, okay, most of you won't remember what I talked about. And so here's what I want to do, and here's why I told you to put your notebooks underneath your chair. I'm here to simply do one thing, and that's to paint a picture, okay? I'm here to paint a picture. And I believe that if I can paint a picture, that will stick with you through the drive down to Dallas, through the victory over Texas on Saturday, and for the many, many, many days and years after that. If you can simply capture this one simple picture. And here we go. Go ahead, Matt. You're going to be involved in this picture, by the way, along through the evening. Okay, you're going to be involved in this picture. But I want to take you back, and here's where we're going to start. 42 BC. Wow, that's a long time ago. 42 BC. Something called the Two Works of Philippi. A great battle. Two battles, by the way. And a work is a common term for a battle. The two battles at Philippi. And the two battles at Philippi were between partners. First, you had the partnership of Octavian, Antony, and Lepidus. And here they come, right there. There they are. Okay? And this is their army. right here, pretty sizable army, okay? And they were battling against or fighting against the partnership of Brutus and Cassius. And here they come. All right. Oh, wow. And here's their army. Might be small in number, okay? Might be small in number, but that's okay. If we could kind of move a little bit, there you go. All right. Looks good. And here it comes, the showdown. The two works at Philippi, you had one battle taking place, and then 20 days later, you had the second battle, or the second work. And here's the second work right before your very eyes. First, and all of you need to stand up, by the way. Could you stand up? All of you are considered, here's your leaders, okay? Here's your generals, here's your leaders, the partnership. And all of you are fellow workers, okay? You're soldiers who are considered fellow workers. So shake the hand around of those around you. Say, hello, fellow worker. Hello, fellow worker. Okay. There we go. Okay. You're the ones who are fighting alongside one another in this battle task. And here's the objective, okay? Hold on. Be with me. Here's your objective. Your objective is this, to fight out your deliverance. This army wants to be delivered from that army. That army wants to be delivered from this army. You're seeking to be delivered from the enemy. And that's your objective. Okay? And so here we go. You're in a line. You're in your squadron and your legion. And you're about to go to battle. Okay? This is crucial. I'm going somewhere with this. Hold on with me. Okay? I know what I'm doing. Believe me. Okay? And here's the first step. Before you engage in battle. And it's to stand firm. Watch your generals. They're going to show you how to do it. You're standing firm. Okay, everybody stand firm. Okay, don't move. Don't retreat. Don't flinch. Look at this. Man, Alex Armstrong. Look at this guy. He's standing firm. Stand firm. Just like that. Don't flinch. If I come running after you, don't flinch. Don't flinch, okay? Good job. Okay, now you're standing firm. Kind of like that. See, they're standing firm a little bit, okay? Now go ahead. And now watch your generals. They're going to hold forth the torch. Okay, guys, hold forth the torch. Kind of like the Statue of Liberty. And before advancing into battle, each legion or squadron would hold forth the torch. And it kind of looked like this. You're like, what? That's not a torch. That's an eagle. Are you crazy? Well, they considered this, they labeled it the torch as a nickname because the wings of the eagle flamed up and like a torch. And so they called it hold forth the torch. And that's something similar to what they would hold forth before they advanced against one another in battle. Okay? You with me? Okay, Matt. And then, as they're holding forth the torch, everybody hold forth your torch. They chanted all at once this phrase. And your generals will lead you in this phrase. Go ahead, generals. Octavian, you guys, go ahead.
Word of the Lord.
Now you guys say.
Word of the Lord.
Now you guys say.
Word of the Lord.
Now you guys say.
Word of the Lord.
Okay, go ahead. And then you say. Go ahead, generals.
Complete the work
begun. Okay, now you guys say. Now you guys say,
complete the once begun work.
And you guys say,
complete the
once
begun work.
See, the work began 20 days earlier. It was the first battle or the first work. Now it's the second battle or the second work, and they want to complete it. Go ahead, Matt. And now they're going to fight side by side against the enemy. They held forth the torch. They gave the chant of work the work, complete the once begun work, and now the battle begins as the partners in the armies fight side by side. Go ahead, guys. They're fighting. They're marching in step. They're fighting side by side. Who's going to win? Here, what's going to happen? Uh-oh. Who's going to win? Uh-oh. Oh, they got him. Oh. No. And now we have the victors, Octavian and Antony. And Lepidus, good job. Good job. You guys okay? Okay. All right. You can have a seat. And so after this battle took place called the Two Works of Philippi, everybody was relocated and settled into a city called Philippi. And that's who all of you are now. Okay? You've all relocated and now you settled into a city called Philippi. And at this point in time, Philippi becomes known as a veteran military colony. Why? Kind of obvious, right? All the veterans from the military of this fight and in the battle between one another, they all settle in Philippi. And here you are. There's statues. Look, well, I guess there's not any here. But there's statues all around that commemorate this battle at Philippi. Your coins and the money that you exchange at the marketplace and all over commemorates this battle at Philippi. You see arches throughout the city that commemorate this battle at Philippi. You live, you eat, you breathe, military, military, military. It's a veterans military colony. All that's everywhere, all over the place, in the bloodstream of the city is military. Well, guess what? Your lifespan isn't very long, and you all die, okay? But then your descendants, after a while, you know, continue to live in the city of Philippi, and it continues to be a veteran military colony. Well, let's fast forward. Okay, we're fast forwarding 100 years later. A church starts. You guys, right here in the middle, okay? Can you stand up? Not everybody, about five rows deep, okay? Starting with you. Yeah, you girls, stand up by Amy Van Dyke. Sorry, Amy, you guys stand up. And all the way to him. Stand up. Okay, you're the church at Philippi. Here you are, okay? You all settle in Philippi. Some of you don't accept Christ. Here are the people who accept Christ. They're believers. Here's the church at Philippi. Okay? But guess what? Here's what characterizes the church at Philippi at this point in time. You're advancing the gospel. Good job. You're evangelistic. You're bold in your faith. You're sharing your faith with all of these pagans around you. Good job. Great job. But guess what else? You're contributing financially to Paul. I'm going to be Paul. Is that okay? I'm going to be Paul. You're contributing financially to Paul. I need your help in order to advance the gospel, to be able to go to certain cities and to advance the gospel. I need your financial help, and you're helping me. Thank you. But guess what else? It's not all hunky-dory. You're suffering. You're being persecuted. People are spitting on you, hitting you. They're ridiculing you, hurling insults at you, that you're ostracizing you. They don't like you because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And it hurts, okay? It hurts. But there's something else that's going on. There's disunity among you. We won't act that out. But there's disharmony among you. You're not getting along with each other. You're selfish. You're arrogant. You're prideful. You're not considering the needs of others more important than yourselves. And there's disharmony and disunity among the church at Philippi. And it's within this context, I need somebody, a guy preferably, within the church at Philippi. There you go. Robert, hey man, I know you. Robert is Epaphroditus. He springs up. Come on, Robert. He springs up and he runs to Paul to deliver financial help so I can continue to advance the gospel all over the Roman Empire. And here he comes. And he's given me all his money that the church is sending to me so I can stay alive to advance the gospel. But he tells me something else during this time. He tells me some bad news. And here's the bad news that he tells me. He tells me about your situation, of how you're suffering, how you're being persecuted, and how people are ridiculing you and so forth and so on. And then he tells me this. There's disunity among you. You're not getting along. You don't like each other. There's pride. There's arrogance. And at that point in time, I begin to write a letter. I write a letter addressing these specific issues. And I hand it to Epaphroditus. Here you go, buddy. I hand it to Epaphroditus. And he takes it back. I got to take that. He takes it back. He takes it back. And he reads it specifically to you. You can have a seat. Okay? Now let's take a step back. Okay? We've been talking about Paul, Philippians, or the church at Philippi, Epaphroditus, the battle at Philippi, all of this stuff. But now I want to talk about you just real quick, and then we'll get back to our story. I thoroughly believe that what I just described in regards to the situation at Philippi is going on here this evening in many of your lives. You know, what I just described at the Battle of Philippi, or with this church at Philippi, is that there's civil war breaking out. And I use that term purposefully. There's civil war breaking out within the camp at Philippi, within the church at Philippi. And I think the same thing is true for a lot of you, that there's civil war breaking out among us. Some of you, it's with a Christian roommate. You can't stand them. Your room is simply a place where you can lay down and sleep and get up and leave. Because if you're both in there together, there's tension. Some of you, you're struggling with a person on your discipleship team or ministry team or your e-group that you just don't see eye to eye, that you don't like their personality, that they get on your nerves. Some of you are the witty guy that likes to make jokes at other people's expense. And you're causing tons of hurt and pain to a lot of people here. And there's civil war breaking out. Some of you are jealous of others. You're in this spiritual competition with those around you to see who can be the most spiritual, to see who can have the applause, really, of the staff. And you're jockeying for position, trying to get to the head of the pecking order and the head of the ladder in this spiritual competition with others around you. And there's civil war all over the place breaking out. And the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians countered and addressed this issue. And that's why I'm bringing it up tonight, that I'm about to give you a picture of that Paul painted to address this specific issue to the Philippians. And I want this picture to address this specific situation to the University of Oklahoma, BSU, where there's civil war breaking out among us. And remember this as we're about to look at this letter really quick. You're a veteran military colony. We're going back to Paul and the Philippians. You're a veteran military colony, okay? You eat, sleep, and breathe military. You know all about the Battle of Philippi and everything we just did, all this nonsense up here a minute ago, okay? You know all of that. You're suffering, and there's civil war breaking out among you. And there's one other thing. The majority of you are illiterate, okay? You can't read and you can't write, okay? Therefore, I'm going to try and paint a picture to communicate truth to you. I'm going to paint a picture of everyday life to communicate truth to you. And here's the picture. Go ahead, Matt. Here it is. Here's the letter that was written to you. And remember everything we just did concerning the Battle of Philippi, okay? Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear. This is what I want to hear about you. You church that's civil war breaking out, you church of disharmony and disunity, the church where suffering and persecution is going on, this is what I want to hear about all of you. That you're standing firm. Oh, have we heard that before? You're standing firm. The determination of a soldier. You're not cowering back. You're not relenting. You're standing firm in one spirit. You know what that means? You're a unified front. It's army military language. Get the picture, what we just did. You're a unified front as a church. A unified front. Go on, Matt. With one mind striving together. And that word striving together means this. Fighting side by side. Why? To kill other people like the Battle of Philippi? No, I'm not saying that. For the faith of the gospel. And do you see the picture here? He's calling this church that's disunity, having disunity and disharmony and civil war breaking out. And he's telling them to be a unified front, standing firm, marching side by side, fighting together for the gospel to a military colony that understands this beautifully. And he says this, what is one thing, okay, think about this, what is one thing, the one thing that's going to keep them from standing firm and fighting side by side for the advancement of the gospel? What is it? Suffering. There's opposition. Remember, church, can you stand up real quick? Okay, all at once. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. There's opposition all around you. They don't like you. They're persecuting you, ridiculing you, causing you to suffer. And I'm afraid, as Paul, I'm afraid that you're going to cower back, that you're going to relent. You're not going to stand side by side as a unified front to advance the gospel because you're scared, you're intimidated, you're spooked of what could happen to you. And so I address this issue. You can have a seat. Thanks. And I say this, in no way alarmed or spooked like a horse is spooked by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but a salvation, meaning deliverance for you. You're going to be delivered. Who are you going to be delivered from? You're going to be delivered from all your enemies. That's who you're going to be delivered from as you fight side by side for the advancement of the gospel. In the American church, we think, what? Delivered from my enemies? That makes no sense. No, it doesn't. But you read this verse to the Christians in China, to the Christians in Iraq, to the Christians in the Sudan, to the Christians in Afghanistan, to the Christians in Indonesia, they would understand this. Why? Because they would understand that, yes, they want, they urgently want and desire to be delivered from all their enemies and from the mess that they're in. I know it's hard for us to understand, but that's what he's talking about, being delivered from your enemies. Go ahead. And now he's going to give them some encouragement. I guess you could call it encouragement. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, experiencing the same conflict. You see that word conflict? It means a battle fight, a battle task, a battle conflict going on. And that's what they're involved in. They're involved in a battle, in a fight for the gospel, in the midst of hostile opposition. Which you saw in me, they saw Paul in this fight when he was in Philippi. They saw him get persecuted and beaten and thrown into prison. And now here to be in me. Now they hear about Paul in the battle task of advancing the gospel as well. And now here's the question. Suffering might cause them not to stand firm as a unified front for the advancement of the gospel. Suffering might cause them to not do that. But what else might cause them not to stand firm as a unified front for the advancement of the gospel? What else? Disharmony, civil war, disunity, bickering, complaining, grumbling, jealousy, personality clashes, you name it, how you relate with others. It could cause them not to stand firm as a unified front for the advancement of the gospel. And he deals with it right here. Here it goes. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, meaning of how they relate with others, how they relate with themselves, if there's affection for one another and compassion for one another, then make my joy complete. And here's how they're going to make his joy complete. Go ahead, Matt. Here it comes. By being of the same mind. It literally means this. To think the same thing. Or to be on the same side. No civil war. Think the same thing. Be on the same side. Get over your problems. Get over it. There's something bigger going on. And that thing that's bigger is the advancement of the gospel. Get over whatever problems you have, is what he's saying. Maintaining the same love. United in spirit, meaning one in soul. You're one in soul. Intent on one purpose. I wish he wouldn't have put this. I'll be honest. It hurts. This is hard. Intent on one purpose, meaning this. Thinking the one thing. And here's the secret. How do we stand firm as a unified front? How do we avoid civil war? How do we avoid personality clashes? How do we avoid just all these problems of relating with others and that's involved in most of our lives? How do we avoid all that? By thinking the one thing. That should provoke this question. What is that one thing? We need that. You need that. We all need that. For the gospel's sake, we need this. Here's the one thing. Go ahead, Matt. Do nothing. And you see that word do, it's in italics. That was supplied by the translators in order to have a better flow in English. Okay, but let's leave the word do out and see what it says. Thinking the one thing, and here it is, nothing from selfishness or rivalry. You're on one side in the civil war, I'm on the other side of a civil war. Or empty conceit, meaning pride and arrogance. but with humility of mind regard or think. It's all about your mindset. One another is more important than yourselves. That's how you maintain a unified front. Everybody, each and every single one of us are thinking this one thing. And that is that. That is this. You and your needs and your concerns and your interests are more important than mine. We're all thinking that. And you're wondering, okay, well, who's going to take care of my interests then? Who's going to take care of my needs? Who's going to take care of my concerns? Well, you got hundreds of other people thinking about it. Don't worry about it. They'll take care of it for you. Go ahead, Matt. And here he's going to unpack this. Do not merely look out. Man, I wish he wouldn't have put this. That means keep thinking about, meaning continually, contemplating, keep thinking about. Do not merely keep thinking about your own personal interests, but also the interest of others. That's the one thing. Can you imagine a group like that? That is continually thinking upon the interest of other people. Their needs, their concerns, not your own. Everybody else has your concerns and their needs in their thinking. And now here's what we're going to see. We're not going to read these verses, but then in verses 5 through 11, we have the perfect example of somebody who had this selfless, humble mindset. Who was that? That continually thought about the needs of others. It's Jesus Christ. And that's included there. And then, here's what we're going to see. The apex, okay? We're almost done. The exclamation point of where Paul's going with all of this. And here's my exhortation to you. And then we're going to apply it at the very end. I'm just trying to paint a picture. And here it is. He's already told them, this is what I want to hear, guys. That you're standing firm as a unified front. That you're fighting side by side for the advancement of the gospel. But there's two things that might hinder that. And that is suffering. And you cowering back from suffering. And it's also this. Arrogance and disharmony and disunity. You can't be a unified front with all that stuff. So therefore, have a selfless, humble mindset. And now here comes the exclamation point. Where he's going with all of this. And it's here. So then. Meaning this. I want to hear all this. Remember he said, I want to hear it. I want to hear you're doing all this. And now he's saying, now do what I want to hear. I want to hear it. Now do it. Do the things I want to hear. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, they've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And here it comes, all about evangelism and unity. Here it comes, work out. That term work out literally means this, fight a battle. Remember, work the work? We all stood up and said that. Work the work, work the work. Work it out, fight a battle. Your deliverance. Deliverance from your enemies. And we'll look at that. With fear and trembling. That's what comes with fighting out your deliverance. That's what comes with being a unified front and fighting side by side for the advancement of the gospel. Guess what comes with it? Fear and trembling. You're scared. You're terrified. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. And guess what? It comes with the territory. You're fearful, you're trembling as you fight out your deliverance of the opposition who is seeking to persecute you, is the picture there. Go on. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. Be a unified front. No grumbling. No complaining. Stop it. That's the idea. Go ahead, Matt. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst, meaning right in the middle, right in the center or in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation. Among whom you appear as lights, meaning this, light bearers. Remember that? Holding forth what? The torch. Before what? You advance and fight the battle. And that's what you have here. Among whom you appear as light bearers in the world. What are you doing? Holding forth. You're not holding the torch, guys. You're holding the gospel message as you go out and fight in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation that surrounds you, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. And see the picture? This church at Philippi, civil war is all breaking out. And he's telling them this. Guess what, church? Stand up. Can you stand up one more time? This is the last time I'll have you stand up. Look around you. You're surrounded by a crooked and perverted generation that are seeking to persecute you and cause you to suffer. Therefore, fight out your deliverance from them. How are you going to do that? Quit grumbling. Quit complaining. Come together as a unified front that considers the interest of others a lot more important than your own. And then what are you going to do? You're going to hold forth. You're going to appear as a light bearer as you hold forth the gospel message and proceed in contending side by side and fighting side by side for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can have a seat. That's the picture. And my question tonight is this. Does that picture resemble the OUBSU? Does it resemble you guys? Does it? Are you a unified front? I'm not asking you, are you as an individual going out and sharing your faith? I'm not asking you that at all. I'm asking you collectively. Are you a unified front? Meaning this. Do you as individuals, do all of you, have this consuming passion to advance the gospel no matter the cost? Do you have that? If not, you're not a unified front. There's some that are lagging behind. They need to be brought up to the front lines. And then the second question is this. Are you a unified front in the sense of your mindset of putting the needs and interest of others ahead of your own? Are you continually, seriously, think about this. Do you continually think about the needs and interest of others instead of your own? Continually. Do you? Or is there civil war breaking out? You know, my application for a lot of you is simply this. Is that many of you, as I mentioned earlier, you're struggling with your roommate. There's just tension in there all the time. For the sake of the advancement of the gospel, for the sake of being a unified front, reconcile with them. Get over it. More is at stake than your own petty little arguments. What's at stake is the gospel going forth and us doing it as a unified front together. That's what's at stake. You know, for some of you, there's just jealousy that you have toward other people here. You know, you saw somebody sitting over there, so you thought, man, I'm going to sit as far over there as possible. I want nothing to do with them. They make me uncomfortable. I don't like them. I'll stay as far away as possible. Well, that's a great unified front, isn't it? That's civil war. Civil war breaking out. And for the sake of being a unified front to fight side by side for the advancement of the gospel, make amends. You know, for some of you, you spend all day talking about fellow Christians on your hall, gossiping behind their back, grumbling and complaining about them, talking about how they always do that, and how they get on your nerves, and you can't believe they did that, and you can't wait to tell your friends about them. Well, that's a great unified front, isn't it? No. And for the sake of being a unified front that fights side by side for the advancement of the gospel, do something about it. Ask for forgiveness. Make amends. Reconcile. You know, for some of you, I don't know what the issue is, but you're struggling with relating with somebody here. Maybe you need to forgive them. Maybe there's bitterness. Maybe I don't know what the issue is. But think of that picture and being a unified front. And I'm telling you this, the advancement of the gospel is preeminent. It's more important and it's more vital than any little squabble you have with somebody else. And it needs to be dealt with for the sake of the gospel. Here's one last picture to try and communicate this truth.
Perhaps you should take his offer. He's right, Nathaniel.
Wait. Bargain me to Louis for all your lies. You have done your best. Please let me go.
No. I cannot do it. Even if I could give up my king, I could never give up my son.
Son?
I loved your mother. I love her still. You are my son. I never knew you existed. And I never felt pride as a father. Until this moment.
I trained these men. They will fight to the death. But if we must die, let it be like this.
One for all for one.
You can rent that from me if you want after tonight, but see them. But my prayer, and just in conclusion, is that your fight, in the technical sense, as Paul uses it in Philippians, your fight would be concentrated on those from without, those that need the gospel, instead of your fight being concentrated among yourselves. So let me pray for us. Lord, I thank you for this evening and just for the privilege, Lord, to share with this group. And I know it's a ministry that has changed my life, Lord, and just the just being on staff, Lord, the privilege it was to work with some of the students that are here this evening. And Lord, I just pray for all of us, Lord, that Lord, it's a lot easier to communicate these truths that I shared tonight. It's a lot easier to communicate it than to live it and flesh it out day in and day out. And Lord, I pray for this ministry. Lord, I pray that they would realize and take serious the truth, Lord, that they are on a campus that is crooked and perverted. Lord, they live in the midst of that, right smack dab in the middle of it. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would realize that. And I pray that realization would cause them to come together as one, as a unified front, putting down all their differences, their issues, their personality clashes, their arguments, their grumbling, that they can lay it all aside for the purpose of coming together as a unified front and fighting side by side for the advancement of the gospel. Lord, use them in a mighty way. Pray that much fruit would be born, that many, many years from now, people will be walking with you because of the fruit that was born from the lives of this ministry. It's in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.